Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel according to Luke in the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. And let me say, I usually read from the New Revised Standard Version, but it just sounds better in King James. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to their own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those times which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. May God bless this reading, hearing, and our understanding of this holy word. Please pray with me. Father God, on this Sunday morning, we pray that you would open our minds, open our hearts, open our souls. And may what is said, heard, and understood this day be pleasing to you and bring praise to you. In Christ's name, amen. So this Advent, we've been going through a series called Angels Among Us. And we started out with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And that showed us that fear can lead us to feel desperate and how we need to have more hope to move forward. Next, we looked at Gabriel's appearance to Mary and how it showed us that fear can lead us to be in denial about things and how we need to have more peace in order to take and move forward. And last week, we looked at the story of the angel's appearance to Joseph and how that showed us that lead can lead us to worry and how we need to have more joy to take and to move forward. Today, we look at the fourth and the last of the angel appearances, and this is the story of the shepherds. Now, being a shepherd in biblical times was not the most glamorous profession. You were usually employed by a rich owner to take care of their sheep. And you had to be with the sheep constantly to protect them, to ensure that predators did not get them, that the sheep did not get hurt, or the sheep wander off and become lost. So pretty much you were constantly in the fields wandering with the herd, not really knowing where you're going to be from day to day. And, you know, there was no such thing as RVs or travel trailers or portable showers. So you and your clothes were in a perpetual state of being filthy. It was pretty much the only job that you could get, and you were treated as being the lowest of the low. You were on the bottom rung of the societal ladder. So pretend that you're a shepherd. You're out there. It's nighttime. The sheep have settled down somewhat, and you and your fellow shepherds have decided on what the watch schedule is going to be through the night. And so you're there, minding the sheep. Not a cloud in the sky. The moon is out, so you can keep a better eye on the sheep and make sure that they stay safe. Then all of a sudden, boom! An angel appears above you, shining in the glory of God, lighting up the countryside brighter than day. And they say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, one would think that the angel appearing and giving this proclamation and the hosts after that that came down singing God's glory, you would have thought that that was the sign. It's big, it's bold, it's loud, it's exciting, it captures your attention. But that wasn't the sign that God was giving. The sign was actually a little newborn baby in a feeding trough. Small, humble, somewhat quiet, vulnerable. In our world today, whenever there is a major announcement, it's got to be big. There's got to be a big to-do about it. You're sitting at work and you get an email that says, "Tomorrow at 2 p.m., our CEO will be live streaming with major news." And when you tune in to the announcement, there's music and, "Ladies and gentlemen, our CEO." It's big, it's bold, it's exciting. Captures your eye. And we're all familiar with "the president will address the nation at 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight, and he will have a major announcement." Politicians love to be live when they have to announce things. It always must be a big to-do, and no matter who it is, what side of the aisle that they sit on, they are trying to one-up everybody else because they need to project this air of being better. One-upmanship is a standard practice today. Obviously, you see it in politics. You see it in business when businesses make announcements, when they do their ads. Even in our personal lives, every one of us wants to have a sense of being worthy, a sense that we matter, that we are important. So, we must show that we are better than others. And that is what makes us feel worthy. We are fearful of not feeling that we have any worth at all, that we have any impact. We're afraid. Now, Jesus did not have to come as a little baby, born in a stable in Bethlehem. The first announcement of his birth didn't need to be to lowly shepherds. Jesus could have appeared fully grown in the temple before the priests. The priests could be in there doing their thing. And all of a sudden, boom, there's Jesus. A 30-something year old man suddenly appearing, saying, "Here I am." He could have appeared in the throne room of King Herod. He could have appeared to the king and all the courtiers, all of the lords and whatnot. Again, the king could be sitting on his throne doing kingly business, and a 33-year-old or so full-grown man just appears in all of glory shining. It would have been a bigger, better debut before the powerful and the worthy of society. Again, that would have been big. That would have been bold. That would have made a statement that says, "I am the Son of God, and I am better than you." But instead of coming in might and in power, instead of coming to the high and the mighty, God came to earth in the form of a vulnerable baby, born in a stable to a young girl and to a carpenter, with his first visitors being a bunch of dirty bums. Jesus' birth reminds us of the power of vulnerability. The announcement to these shepherds, these low of the lowest, tells us who is worthy. Who is worthy of God's love? John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, if Jesus had appeared and if the announcement had been to the priest, to the king, to the high and the mighty, that would have been a message that they were the ones that were worthy. But no. Jesus came as a little vulnerable baby, first visited by the low of the low. If the low of the lowest if the scum of the earth, if you will, if that's who the first announcement was, the announcement of who is worthy, then everyone is worthy of God's love. Everybody in the world has worth. Our sense of worth comes not from making big, flashy announcements of how much better we are. It does not come from the praise and the admiration of the masses. It comes from the fact that God loves us. It comes when we let ourselves be vulnerable, when we let our guard down and are truly, truly ourselves, not putting on an act, just ourselves. And that vulnerability and that being ourselves, that is something that God can take and He can work with. And when we are vulnerable, when we are ourselves, that is when God is able to fill our hearts with love. And this love that fills our heart is not something to be kept to ourselves. It is meant to be spread. And it is not only meant to be spread to the high and mighty. It is not to be spread only to those that believe in Christ. It is meant to be spread to everyone. And it is not meant to be big and flashy. It's meant to be spread humbly, quietly, on an individual basis. So far this Lent, we have said that we all, as we go through life, that we experience doubt and fear. That we experience denial because we're trying to shield ourselves from troubles that we may face, and we will experience worry. And today we acknowledge that sometimes we just feel so unworthy. And we see this same doubt, fear, denial, worry, and sense of unworthiness in the people around us. It's running rampant in the world nowadays, my friends. In these times, let us continue to remember that we carry God's hope, God's peace, God's joy, and especially God's love within us. And by this hope and by this peace and by this joy and by this love, we can move past our fears and we can help those around us do likewise. We can be messengers of hope, of peace, of joy, and of the love that God would have us to be. Do not be afraid. Amen.